Here's a little toss back to some factor cap that we were doing a little bit.
Okay, what do we got?
A couple of tweets. This is from Miguel. Miguel writes, the Beastie Boys didn't fight for your right to party so you can drink hard seltzer. That's pretty great. Good job, Miguel.
Hey, a couple Zimas when you get a chance, huh?
This is from Joe K in Koreatown, I believe is what this is.
You were the guy at spring break for MTV just popping Zimas on TV. Like, what's this guy doing?
So hard seltzers are okay. Like, I know it's not my first choice, but if I went to your barbecue in your backyard and you're out and we're playing some ping pong or something or cornhole or whatever it is, and you say, hey, Trav, there's a big cooler full of White Claws over there. I'm going to go have one. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Why not? It's not something I'm billing up and say, hey, you got that raspberry claw? I'm not doing that. But they're okay. They serve their purpose.
No laws when you're drinking White Claw.
There you go. I like that. This says, we need video of Trav riding a shopping cart. And this is sent to you and Emily.
That's
and
amazing.
Spectrum. Or That's I should amazing. Say Chris Morales.
I cannot envision, like when you told the story, I'm like, no, this guy is BSing.
Yes. Yeah.
He's not riding a cart.
A, I'm an athlete.
At Ralph's.
You'd be surprised at how nimble I actually am. And B, it's fun. You mean to tell me that you haven't been through your
You
local...
want to impress me? I want you to ride the cart backwards.
Oh, what, you push it?
No. So
I thought
you're
going to
have
me get in the seat like a 6-year-old.
Instead of being where the handles are, you're on the other side of the cart.
Okay.
Okay. And then as you're getting close to putting the cart back, now you're kind of on the side.
I'm not a gymnast. I'm not going to do a handspring onto the front of the cart.
Sounds like amateur hour to me. No. Either do it right, go all in, or don't do it.
I thought you were going to suggest that I get on the front and then you push it from one side and we ride it together.
Can't do it.
I thought that's what we were headed for. Lakers are 2-2. They've won 2 in a row. And why does it feel like this? Why does it feel like, yeah, I'm glad they won.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they pulled that out. I'm glad that AD avoided injury. I'm glad that Russell Westbrook had a big night. But when that game ended last night, it left me feeling a little, ugh. Why?
Yeah, it's funny because I think there's two different camps here in Laker world. I think you're, hey, you know what? Look at that stat line from Russell Westbrook. Look what Anthony Davis put up. You won an overtime exciting game against the San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. Great. And then I think there's the other side of it where you've set yourself some expectations of it's also how you win. By the way, quick update on tonight. So Lakers taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Pre-game with myself and Michaels at 3:30, tip-offs at 5. So early game today against the Thunder. LeBron will miss his second straight game, right ankle soreness. And Anthony Davis questionable for tonight's game. And Wayne Ellington's questionable as well, but I mentioned AD because...
You might get some minutes tonight, Slee.
I might get some minutes.
We're running out of guys.
Yeah, we're already talking about... You know, I think this is the part that's... when I say that Lakers are 2-2, and this is how I feel, I think they're kind of lucky to be 2-2. I think they're fortunate to be sitting at 2-2 because the Warriors game, Golden State won the game. It's not like the Lakers made mistakes down the stretch. Golden State won that game against the Lakers, but that's a game, of course, every Laker fan thought the Lakers would win. Phoenix, there's no question who won that game. The Suns handled business, at one point had double-digit lead. They were pretty much dominating the game. Lakers came back in the fourth quarter, made it interesting, way too late for that. Actually, really didn't make that interesting. You played Memphis on Sunday night. Ja Morant put up 40-10 on you. Carmelo had 28 off the bench. LeBron, AD, and Russ were all playing, and you needed Ja Morant to miss a free throw at the end to not go to overtime. And then yesterday, like we mentioned, yes, no LeBron.
Right.
But this is a San Antonio Spurs team. They're well-coached. They're going to play hard.
Yep.
They're going to move the ball. I think they're third in the league in assists.
Got
That's
Jakob
just what
Pirtle.
They do. They had 31 assists yesterday. Pirtle looked like the next coming of David Robinson,
Olajuwon.
Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Wilt Chamberlain,
sure.
All those centers put together.
Mm-hmm.
They won in overtime, so they're 2-2. My opinion, they're lucky to be 2-2. That's how I think they've played so far.
Yeah, it's funny, and this is not the final exam. This is not how you're going to feel in maybe even a week or 2 weeks, and certainly not a month or a couple of months, and certainly not by the time you get to the playoffs. But let me just answer it like this. The way that it's looked so far is the all of the questions I had are still glowing, right? None of them have been, oh, okay, that's a little bit better than I thought. And here's what I mean. there seems to be two different versions of the Russell Westbrook, right? There was the guy that played last night who was amazing, mm-hmm. right? Just absolutely fantastic. Took over the game for stretches and, you know, along with Anthony Davis, won the game for his team. And then there was the Russell Westbrook that kind of seems disjointed and doesn't fit real well when LeBron's there. So we got those two. That's what I thought it might be. I still do. Okay. Then there's LeBron. We're playing game number five tonight. He's going to have missed two of them. That's not good. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a man in his 19th season. This is a guy coming off last season, really for the first time in his career, where he missed a significant amount of time. When this stuff starts to happen, it usually doesn't stop happening when you're at this point in your career. That's still to be concerned. You saw Anthony Davis go down last night with an injury that made you gasp for breath because sure. when every time he goes down,
clutching his knee, holding right, his knee.
And he sure. looked like he was in agony. Mm-hmm. It was scary. And then you look around at the supporting cast, and it's been kind of hit and miss. All of these things are four games in, five number tonight. None of them have been like, oh, it's a little bit better than I thought. They're all exactly what I thought, which is put you in a certain frame of mind. Makes you feel a certain way about these things. That even if it's just incremental things, like it's a little bit better in game four than it was in game one, you're like, okay, we're trending in the right direction. Okay. And I still think that ultimately it will be in the right direction. But through four games, all of the checklist of things like, are still, it's concerning.
All right, we'll throw this out to Laker fans. Four games in, Lakers in at 2-2. LeBron James no go tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. AD questionable. What have you thought so far? By the way, if you want to be specific on Russell Westbrook, the newest Los Angeles Laker, who yesterday dropped 33, 10, and 8, and 3 turnovers. Remember the game before mm-hmm. he had 9? Michael and I were trying to figure out what's the right turnover count for Russell Westbrook, trying to figure out that portion. He was fantastic yesterday. So if you want to give your thoughts on what you've already saw, what you've already seen, 877-710.
Quick reaction time.
Yep.
You worried about LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I say that because anytime you're a player at that age, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? And that's and this could be as simple as this. You're still in October. Why the hell are you going to play him in a back-to-back if the guy just hurt his ankle?
For sure.
Even if it's a minor type of thing. But you're only four games in, and that's already a conversation. We're not 58 games in. You know, we're not, okay, well, the playoffs are just a month and a half away.
That's it. That it feels like this is early to be cautious. That if it wasn't something, and again, I'm not saying that the guy, if you said it a minute ago, this was a playoff game he plays.
Yep.
If this was a game against Milwaukee or Brooklyn or one of those teams, I'm sure that LeBron would be out there and doing what he needs to do. Maybe not in October, but I think everybody understands what I mean.
Sure.
This is really early to be missing games in the season for little nagging injuries. It is.
Can I give another reason on top of that? The Lakers have the luxury this season that they have not had since LeBron James has been a Laker. This is LeBron's fourth year with the team.
Yeah.
Fourth year with the squad. Before Anthony Davis came, there was zero margin for error. If LeBron's not on the floor, you're losing that game by 30. If then Anthony Davis comes, if LeBron's not there or playing significant minutes, you're still going to lose track when LeBron goes to the bench, just how great LeBron James is. What makes this season unique, what makes this season different than the previous seasons, you've never had a player that can do what Russell Westbrook can do. When LeBron James is not there, it doesn't take away. I mean, Russ's stats yesterday were LeBron-esque, right? LeBron,
he was amazing.
But that was his stats. When LeBron wasn't there, that's the luxury that the Lakers have this year, is they could also be saying, that's a big reason why we traded for Russell Westbrook.
Well, this is what Frank Vogel didn't say exactly that, but I think that was the underlying theme of what he said.
We felt great about this move. You know, last year we lost Bron and AD for a long stretch, and, you know, we didn't have enough to sustain throughout the regular season and to win in the playoffs. And, you know, to get a guy like Russ, you know, if one of those guys is down, we have another guy that can put up a monster night like we saw tonight, you know, paying early dividends in acquiring Russell.
Okay. Yes. I co-signed that. Stamp that with the Travis seal of approval. I agree with what he's saying. If that's why he's here, mostly to make sure that if in the event that what happened last night and what looks like is going to happen tonight, that LeBron is not going to play or is unavailable, whatever it might be. If, hey, Russ, tonight I need you to be, just go be Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Great. I love it. I love everything about that because he won the game for them last night, him and Anthony Davis. If that's why he's here, I am all over it, Slee. It's the other part that still has me concerned. Mm-hmm. But it, look, maybe it really is just a tale of two Russes. The Russ solo or Russ without LeBron and then Russ with LeBron. And if we're going to have a bunch of games where LeBron is either really limited in his minutes or unavailable at all.
Or strategic.
Then, or strategic. Yeah, strategic. No, I don't mean limited in the sense that he's unavailable, he's hurt, or just like, you know what, tonight's a night, we're going to manage the
back-to-back,
the
Spurs, sure. OKC, go
sure.
do your thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then you could really talk me into this. If it's the other thing, I still have those concerns.
Well, I'll say this, and this is going to be – this is how Russell Westbrook, just from my observation, how he's approached the season so far. He's come to the Lakers. Hey, I don't want to get in anybody's way. Hey, I'm not trying to let LeBron be. LeBron, tell me how I can help. AD, I'm not trying to. If you're down low in the basket, I'm not trying to take the ball to the hoop. I think Russ is really trying to figure out his role and how he could be most effective.
Didn't it seem like he didn't have to figure anything out last night, though? He just went off.
Well, when LeBron is out specifically, it's, hey, Russ, ain't nothing to figure out. Do what you've been doing for 12 years. Right. We need that tonight. That's a necessity. It does not succeed unless you do that. The biggest question is going to be, what do the Lakers do once LeBron comes back?
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And you're right. All of these different Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, these play inside, outside, because he went inside last night. He took over the game. These are all great and wonderful. But at the end of the day, you have to have LeBron. If LeBron is
you're
going
to have to figure out with LeBron, right?
Yeah. He needs to be right, and he needs to be full or very close to full LeBron if they're going to go do what we want him to do.
Can it just come down to this? Can it just come down to, as the season progresses, there's going to be games that we're all sitting there and saying, man, Russ and LeBron are playing pretty good together. Hey, when LeBron goes out to the bench to get a quick breather, nothing changes with the Lakers' momentum. Russ is actually he's maybe taking more advantage of LeBron on the bench. That's how it's supposed to evolve.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Believe it was 32 years ago, a year ago today, that the Dodgers won the World Series. That the Dodgers had gone from 1988 until 2020 on this day last year, October 27th, 2020, without a World Series. The Dodgers, the lot, 32 years. That's Arizona Diamondbacks stuff. I don't even think the Diamondbacks have been around 32 years. But that is when you look at it like that.
Doesn't match.
It doesn't.
Does not match. I mean, I guess you can say, I mean, look how long it went for the Red Sox. Look how long it went for the Cubbies.
But the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Cubs kind of had the curse thing, right? Like, oh, it's never going to happen because we've got the Billy Goat in Chicago. You've got the curse of the Bambino.
Made up curses.
Right, for sure, made up. Of course.
No, they're factual.
It was almost like the fans of those teams accepted it.
Yeah.
They accepted that it wasn't going to happen. And then when something bad happens, like, well, yeah, of course, that's the way it's going to be. Dodger fans never felt cursed. They just went 32 years of either having teams that weren't good enough or teams that were good enough that just couldn't get over the hump, or somebody cheated and defrauded them. 32
How
years.
How long did the White Sox go?
Oh, shoot. They went from like the teens up until the early 2000s. They went forever.
Were Tigers a long time as well?
I don't know the Tigers.
I'm just trying to think because I remember it felt like there was a stage of 10 years where everyone was knocking one out.
The Florida Marlins won two in that window. The Florida Marlins, who would have multiple seasons of 100 losses year after year, I would win the World Series, destroy the team, lose 125 games and over, but win the World Series, destroy the team again.
Freaking baseball.
It's crazy, which brings us to the question, right? Yeah. Over a 9-year window, the Dodgers have been to the World Series three times. Mm-hmm. They've won one of them. They've won 8 division championships. They've gone to the National League Championship Series 5 times in that window.
Yep.
And it feels like it's just not quite what it should be. Just barely not enough, one World Series championship short over that nine-year window to make it feel, Al, like they got what they're supposed to get out of this run. One World Series championship over this nine-year run feels just a little bit short of good enough.
It's going to sound like a harsh word. No, it's disappointing. I think, you know, they underachieved. Believe it or not, that's the way to describe it, because if you're there's certain franchises out there.
Would you say that if they beat the Astros?
No. I don't, and I think you're also playing with house money after that. I think it changes the way you approach. Just as an example, right? If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you just won an NBA championship, you're kind of house money now.
Yeah.
There's a lot less pressure on you.
Oh, you can kind of just let it rip at that point. Just,
hey, we already can't take away that championship.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's not saying that last season's World Series we're discrediting or we're not counting, but I think there is, when you are this successful for this long, you should expect more. You should.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think there's anybody within that Dodgers organization. Now, maybe Dave Roberts would say, well, then you don't know baseball, because I know he said that
Can't both things be true? Not that you don't know baseball, but that you can feel like we've done an incredible job, but it also isn't enough. Like, Dave Roberts gets baseball, right? Obviously, that you look at a nine-year window where you've been the best team in baseball or very close to
three seasons, 100-plus wins.
Right. Very either de facto the best as far as most wins or really close to it and one of the favorites going into the playoffs every year, and feel like, yes, I know how hard it is to do what we've just done, but at the same time, feel like you should have gotten a little bit more. I think both those things can be true at the same time.
I think they can, and that's probably the best way to describe. Look, all I could do is I'm going to use other sports references. We had a caller call earlier today talk about the Atlanta Braves. I don't think that's a perfect example because they had 14 years. They went to the World Series, I think you mentioned five times.
They were 1-4.
Can't go 1-4.
Yeah.
Like that's a no question about it. You'll remember that Braves run as, wow, they should have accomplished more.
That Braves run, even for Braves fans, I'm sure they look at it like, yeah, then nah. I mean, it was fun because they were good every year, but that's not a satisfying 14-year window.
You know, you said something earlier too. You talked about that's what makes the Astros thing hurt that much more, because and you don't know how things were going to play out. The American League, the Astros are in the American League. They took out teams probably cheating. The mm-hmm. Yankees are sitting here probably having the same conversation in ESPN New York.
Rightfully
so. They're having that chat. They're having that conversation. But I do think with the Dodgers, when you've created this expectation of, we're just an unbelievable organization. We can compete for a World Series every single year, knowing that at the end of the day, you may very well not win. To have just one, I think it's okay to say that, yeah, they've underachieved in the sense that if only thing that matters at the end of the day is a World Series or not, you're not the Phoenix Suns putting up Western Conference championships, then.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's try Santa Barbara and Aaron. Aaron, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, happy day, gentlemen there. Hey, got to be careful we label this. It's definitely not a failure. It's more of a frustration. It's a work in progress, so there's still hope for the future. You can say, someone mentioned before, Baltimore, your season could be over in June. So we at least have the anticipation, there's the excitement, there's the entertainment value. It's still worth every dime of it. It's good.
No, look, it's wildly entertaining. The Dodgers are super fun to watch. They're one of you can turn on the Dodgers in the middle of May.
You respect the organization.
Absolutely.
Of course.
They got good players. They perform at a high level. And it's not where you're rooting for a team like the Orioles whose season ends basically when spring training ends.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that. But the expectations are totally different. The Orioles aren't saying, well, if we don't win the World Series, the season is something less than what we set out to do. The Dodgers are. The Dodgers do not break spring training saying, hey, let's see what happens. Let's just get to the playoffs and see what happens.
Yeah.
They break spring training saying, let's go win the World Series. And anything less than that is a disappointment.
I think when you lose in the NLCS like they did in 2013, when you lose in the NLDS in 2014, when you lose in the NLDS in 2015, NLCS again in 2016, then you lose in the World Series 2017, 2018, NLDS in 2019, one World Series in 2020, Do you see the theme here?
Mm-hmm.
You're in it every year. Every freaking year you're in it. Every year.
And one of the final four very frequently.
Okay, so with that being said, that's why I think that goes back to... But I thought what was his name in Santa Barbara?
Aaron.
Okay. Aaron brought up probably the most important point that neither of us brought up, which, you know, it bothers me that he brought it up and he was more knowledgeable on
this.
We'll
see if I feel the same way. Go ahead.
He said work in progress. Can I tell you why that part's interesting?
Yeah.
Are the Dodgers competing for a World Series next year?
Yeah, for sure.
You assume that they're going to.
Yeah.
Are they built, which is so unique in baseball, are they built over the next couple of years to be competing? Is it sustainable?
Yes.
The reason why when he says work in progress, and all we could judge of where they are today, that's right. All we can judge it on. But when he says work in progress, he means, well, what if they get one next year? What if they get back to the World Series and win one in 2 years from now?
No.
I think that's a fair point to make.
It's a good point. It's not that the Dodgers hit the detonator and blew it up and they're starting over.
Right, exactly.
It's not that. They're going to run back a very, very good team next year, and I'm excited to see it. That being said, this is a 10-year sample. This is not a where we, hey, look at Cody Bellinger. What a great rookie year. And, wow, look at this Mookie Betts guy. He just, you know, this is exciting, and we're just getting started on this. It's not that. This is a group of accomplished, proven major league players that is in the middle of a historic run. It's not unfair to judge it and saying, hey, let's give it a little more time. There is more time coming.
Yeah.
But this is a fair point to kind of reflect on what it is exactly. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Did you see Shohei last night? The Commissioner's Historic Achievement Award.
Yeah. So, by the way, did you know about this? I didn't even know about this award.
I didn't.
Okay, so Otani wins the, like you said, Commissioner's Historic Achievement Award. Do you know who else has won this award?
Unfortunately, now I do, yeah.
All right, so he's the first player to receive it from Rob Manfred and first award since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Here's who's won it before.
Okay.
Cal Ripken.
Great.
Mark McGwire.
Uh-oh.
Sammy Sosa.
Uh-oh.
Barry Bonds.
Yeesh.
Ricky Henderson.
Cool.
Tony Gwynn.
Right on.
Let's see what. Oh, the Seattle Mariners team got it. I think
the
116
games, sure. Great,
or whatever
great
that
choice.
Was. Roger Clemens.
Say what now?
Ichiro.
Great choice.
Roberto Clemente.
Posthumously, sure.
Let's see who else we got
Rachel
here.
Rachel Robinson.
Rachel
great
Robinson.
Choice.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Great choice.
Mariano Rivera.
Awesome.
Vin Scully.
Awesome.
Derek Jeter.
Sure. It's about, what, 40% of that list is like, yeah, I don't know about that guy. There's just, look, I get it. Baseball was in a weird spot, but if McGwire, Sosa, Bonds, and Clemens are on that list, it's like,
okay.
Can you just get like a little whiteout? Do they still have whiteout? Do
yep.
they have that thing that you can just
yep.
paint over it and
100%.
Give it to somebody else
100%.
Instead?
By the way, you mentioned the Dodgers. This is the anniversary, right?
Uh-huh.
They won the World Series a year ago. It's also the Angels' anniversary when they won their World Series back in 2002. It was interesting yesterday because I mentioned the Laker game is on, but I got the Astros and the Braves on yesterday as well.
Yeah,
Otani gets the award. Otani, we don't talk about. We haven't talked about. There's been very little to talk about. I'm fascinated how the Angels are going to approach this offseason. Otani was the biggest name this year in baseball, and his what did he say at the end? What was his famous quote?
I want to win, and I'll leave it at that.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an interesting conversation.
There's more on Otani that I want to get into because the I'll leave it at that is not just a end of the season, I'll just kind of wrap this up and see y'all in Tempe in the spring. There is an ominous feeling to those comments that are real that we'll pick up on the other side. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I know this is kind of a played bit that gets happened, but it doesn't mean it's a bad one. I wouldn't mind seeing some high school pictures of Chris and of you, Emily, Taylor. Like, this would be kind of fun.
Have
I'd
you
like
thrown
to,
one up?
Yeah, mine's been
baseball.
Up. Yeah, mine was up, and I'm fine. I'm pretty handsome, pretty happy with myself as
confident,
a 17-year-old.
Confident individual over here.
No, I've never been confident with the visual, but the rest of it I was pretty comfortable with. I'd like to see Chris's spiked Sugar Ray hair. frosted hair. I'd like to see you with your private Sliwa haircut.
Yeah, no,
things I'd like to see.
I was an a-hole in high school. Had a tattoo. I mean, the whole thing. You name it, I was doing it.
Well, take me through it. What was high school? Take me from freshman Sliwa to senior Sliwa. Freshman Sliwa comes in. He's a ninth grader at Granite Hills.
Yep.
You're kind of a wallflower. You're kind of mixing it up a little bit. Like you're trying to make friends with the juniors and seniors. You're trying to see what's going on. And as an Eagle,
less my freshman year, more as you just
starting to feel it.
Familiarity
in your sophomore year.
Sure. 4 years at the same university,
picking on the freshman at all. Maybe not in a mean way. In a mean way, but just like come on, freshman, get out of here. This is for the older guys.
It's funny. The only interaction I had with the younger kids was basketball.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's the only interaction.
Sophomore shoot first, freshman. Get off the court. It's like none of that?
No, but that's your only interaction. Other than that, you were just kind of with your people.
Okay, so now you're senior. You know the lay of the land. You're getting ready to graduate. You're going to go off to state.
Senior year.
What are we feeling?
Great year.
You feeling pretty good about yourself?
Oh, yeah. It was great. You've been doing it for how long now? You're doing stupid things that you were never doing before. Way
any
too comfortable in class.
Decisions you regret? We already talked about haircuts. You had the military buzz cut.
Yeah. You had the fro.
Oh, senior year, letting you're letting it out a little bit.
I can't remember. That's so funny that you say that. I have not looked back at high school in so long. Like you, even the friends that I keep in touch with, very few high school friends.
I've
it's kind of weird how it.
And my wife.
I got four or five high school friends I still keep in touch with. But that's it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to see some pictures. I need you to bring in the Granite Hills
The yearbook.
Eagles yearbook tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a deep dive and go to the index and find Sliwa along
Will
the way.
Will you sign it?
Yes, I would enthusiastically sign it.
Hey, Al, great seeing you. KIT.
What was it? Hags, have
KIT
a great summer?
KIT this summer. No,
Hags,
KIT.
Have a great summer. That's
we didn't
what
have
the,
that one.
That was the thing that happened. Quote from Shohei Ohtani. The biggest thing I could take from this season was that I was able to finish the season without getting hurt or being on the IL. It's really the first time in his career that that's been true. That he went through an entire 162-game season and did something that has never been done before. He was a prolific home run hitter, and he was one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball. I don't even get in the numbers. A prolific home run hitter and one of the best starters in baseball. Let me start with this.
Okay.
Do you think he can do that again? Because let me read this quote again. The biggest thing I took away from this season is I was able to finish it without getting hurt or being on the IL. Can he do it again?
Do I think what he accomplished is sustainable? I think knee-jerk is no. That's my knee-jerk reaction.
I think it's the facts.
I don't think he could do it again. And by the way, a lot of that's going to be up to him, because one of the reasons why he signed with the Angels is they were going to give him that opportunity to do that on a night-in, night-out
basis.
They
were the lone team that said, yeah, let's try to do both. And good for them for being willing to try.
Okay, so this comes back to the offseason for the Angels. Ohtani was an incredible show. He was box office. You stopped what you were doing. You wanted to know, what's Ohtani? Ohtani's pitching tonight? Hey, did Ohtani just hit one 450 feet?
It was in his neck.
Turns on those fastballs towards his neck, right?
Right.
Ohtani was one of the most fascinating. It was one of the most fascinating seasons in sports, in not just baseball, in any sport. I mean, that's how impressive this season was. With that being said, Trav, if winning is all that matters to him, you think Ohtani wants to come back this upcoming season? You think he wants to pitch in X amount of games and hit in X amount of games? Or do you want him to be in a position where he's got just a tremendous amount of help and all the burden and the pressure doesn't want to be on him, and you're on an Angels team that's not winning?
Yeah, look, he wants to win because I think he knows, with that quote, Al, I think he knows, look, what I just did, I'm not going to do that five more times. I might be able to do it once or twice more. I might be able to have a season here or there where I can give you 40 home runs, give you 20 starts, and 15 of them are going to be lights out. But he knows. He knows better. He knows how hard it is what he's doing. I don't think that's why he threw out the, we'll see what happens next, or, I'll leave it at that, was the line. Because he knows that season is pretty impossible to duplicate. So while I'm in the middle of this, let's get this figured out. I can't wait around for you to figure it out, because what I'm doing, I can't do for 10 years. No one's ever done it, ever. I just did it once. If you think that I'm going to be able to stack up these seasons year after year after year,
you're out of your mind. What do they do next year then?
I think you have to try to go and do what's arguably borderline impossible to do, and that's catch lightning in a bottle, right? You need to go and give Max Scherzer a bunch of money. You need to go offer Corey Seager something crazy. Mm-hmm. You need to go after Clayton Kershaw and hope that he can just grab on to one more season. And I'm picking Dodgers because they're at the front of my head. There are other guys out there for sure. But
vets, pitchers, guys who've been there, done it.
Mm-hmm. The far more likely result is it doesn't work at all, and you're in an even worse spot than before. But if you're trying to maximize Ohtani, you almost – look, Mike Trout's 10 years into his major league career. Mike Trout is not an old player, but he's no longer a young player.
Sure.
There's no more – well, they got plenty of time for this. They got a lot of things that they need to get figured out. I need to break this off for a second. Emily just sent me some pictures from high school. Tell me if I have this right, Emily. You have one with one of your friends here. You guys are dressed like twins. Very cute. You've got another one where it's theme appropriate. It's Halloween. There's pumpkins on the front doorstep. You look like you're pretty pleased with yourself as a high school person. Am I right? You look like you're having a really good time.
I was a popular kid in high school. Yeah, I did pretty good.
This is not, oh boy, they're taking a picture of me. This is like, hey, over here, get that camera over here. I want this picture taken.
Yeah, I also very much dressed like a young businesswoman a lot of times when I was in high school. I don't know why. I sent you guys a third photo of me in New York City with a chunky necklace.
The one in New York, you look a little bit older. Is it just?
I am just like a year older, okay. Not much older.
She was running Wall Street that year.
Exactly.
This looks like you're starting your career.
Yes.
And then this picture.
I, for some reason, just dressed very preppy, just ready to go to work.
That sounds about right. And you look like you're digging it. Like you and, let me take another, you really liked being in high school.
I didn't peak in high school. I'm not going to say that.
No, I did
enjoy high school.
You're not one of those people, ugh, high school. You had a good time.
I played lots of sports, had lots of friends. I had a good time.
There you go. What are you waiting for? I'll wear your pictures.
I have 30 of them that are loading right now. They're in the queue.
I have a feeling, Emily, that we could be asking Al for these pictures for months and years, and we're never going
to
see them.
I also was in high school in the age of social media, so it was easy to find.
Well, that's true, too.
I was going to say, it's not like they're just sitting here. Like, I'm going through my iPhone photos, and there's high school photos. There's an album.
Is there something in your home right now that has pictures of you as an 18-year-old?
Not at home, at my mom's house.
Okay, well, let's get mom on the horn and have her take a couple of pictures with, you know.
I'll find one.
Okay. Taylor, that means you too. Taylor's going flipping through his phone right now.
Taylor's
this
like,
could go either way.
Taylor's like last year.
This could go.
Taylor is 19.
Taylor's a pretty positive guy. Mm-hmm. Good, you know, he's a pleasure to be around. He's a light presence. This is all good. But I wouldn't be totally shocked if you said, "Yeah, high school kind of sucked." Like you, which way are we going with that one?
No, I don't take that.
Ooh, his mic's not working. Slap that mic. Clap in front of that mic. That's the old,
mic's
it only
working.
Works half the time. See, maybe the gods
maybe
are,
he didn't like
no,
it.
No, they didn't like high school. He went Charlie Brown's mom. The dump is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Hat on for Christmas.
The man right there,
bro. You don't look super excited.
No, I have yet to have... I'm not on a shirt. Let's just say that.
We got to get shirts.
And you are.
We need shirts for the Travis and Sleeve. What would our shirts be? This is a great question. I think we put you on a surfboard with a Stussy t-shirt and your 12th grade haircut. Right there, we've made the Travis and Sleeve show shirt.
How about I'm just sitting there watching a Laker game with a glass of bourbon and you are... And you are watching a Dodger game taking down a hot dog.
Well, that's...
Got a little Dodger stadium, a little Staples Center, kind of both of them.
Lifelike things.
Both of us like this, kind of looking in the direction there.
That's
Dodger Stadium, Staples Center.
That's not a bad way to do it. Let's go and do the dump. J.J. Redick is going to be an analyst for ESPN moving forward. That's good. He's really good at that. His podcast is good. I think he's going to slide right in and do a very good job with that.
I always find it unique, you know, players now that while they're still playing, now J.J. Redick obviously not on a team this year, but I find it unique that you have a player that's actually doing a podcast. Every single day he's practicing or every single week he's practicing. He kind of has this opportunity to showcase his skills to ESPN or some of these other networks, and then he ends up landing a deal.
It's a different universe, right? When at least when I was getting started in this, you had to go work at a TV station or a radio station or get an internship somewhere to do it.
Yeah, the internship.
And now you just flip on your phone and create a podcast or a video blog or whatever it is. And if you're good at it, people will find it.
And you're J.J. Redick, so it's not like you have to go introduce yourself. It's not like you have to do certain things. But instead of him waiting for an opportunity with a network, he started his own thing. And by starting his own thing, a network came to him.
All right, so the Cleveland baseball team, which was formerly the Cleveland Indians last season, that will be the Cleveland Guardians next season.
Yep.
Is getting pushback from another Guardians. The Cleveland Guardians of the Roller Derby League are saying, no, that's our name. Roller Derby in the way of Major League Baseball. Who you got in that lawsuit?
So here's the thing. Originally, when they announced the Cleveland Guardians, instantly I was like, well, what about the Rollerblade team?
Roller Derby team.
Instantly, that was my initial reaction. Actually, I got to be honest with you. You know, this could be a real thing. Do you remember this, Trev? Do you remember when the WWF,
World Wrestling Federation,
and you're trying to say...
World Wildlife Fund.
Well, you're trying to say, oh, well, look at these two organizations. Who's going to win that battle?
Uh-huh.
This is not... I don't know how it's going to play out, but I will tell you that if they can make a case in court, look, they are taking our name, and we are a sports league or whatever the case is. They can make a case.
No, they might. Look, the little guy can win in these situations along the way. Do you like the name Guardians?
No.
I don't either. I don't hate it the way that some other things kind of land. You're like, that's
doesn't
terrible.
It sound like it rolls. It doesn't sound like it's just...
Now, first of all, anything new always sounds clunky.
Okay, but can I give you an example?
Yeah.
The Washington football team.
Love it.
I don't know why I really like that.
I do too.
I really like that.
Mostly I like it because I just like calling them football team. Like, not even the Washington football team. Like, the Packers are playing football team this weekend. I like saying that. It just feels fun.
Are they? Because I thought, is that their official name now? Or were
Washington
they?
Washington football team.
So, the reason why I asked the question was it, hey, let's make it this for now, and then we're going to come up with something. And then it just took off and it became. I think people like this.
I think it was kind of a placeholder while we come up with something else. And I don't know if they ever did come up with something else that everybody agreed on. And it just kind of stuck. Maybe this gives the baseball Guardians a chance to go back to the drawing board.
Don't call them the Guardians.
You can't be the baseball team, right? You can't be the Cleveland Baseball Club. That doesn't work.
But you also don't need to be too cute. I think sometimes simplicity is a good thing. So see what happens.
All right, so there's a new movie coming out this summer. It is based on one of the Toy Story characters, Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. Iconic Pixar character, right? Chris Evans, Captain America, is going to voice Buzz Lightyear and not... Tool Time guy. I'm blanking on his name right
now.
Tim Allen. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Just Buzz Lightyear is Tim Allen. That's Chris Evans is going to have
to. Not a fan of the change.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the change.
It's always weird when you get a new voice on something, especially an animated thing where you get used to it.
Too iconic of a character to change the voice. You know, that's the problem. The problem is if this was a movie that it didn't really hit or there was only one of them and it wasn't, not that many people paid attention. How many Toy Stories are there? Four?
Four.
I think there's four.
Yeah.
One of them are great.
I haven't seen the fourth one. Oh, yeah, and the fourth one's the one with Sporky, right? Where the Spork is the main character, where it's not a toy,
trash. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I have seen all four. They are all good.
They are good.
But you need Buzz to be Buzz. Or Chris
Evans
is great.
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen and Tom Hanks isn't going to – Woody's not going to be somebody else. Who else in the Pixar universe gets their own movie? Who would you like to see? I have one that I'd really like to see.
Who else in the Pixar? Give me it.
Mr. Incredible. Mr. Incredible is hilarious. He is voiced by Craig T. Nelson, who's really funny. He's kind of overweight and sloppy and awesome and solves crimes. You don't want to see that?
It's a good setup right there.
I like how they met. How he met Mrs. Incredible.
Elastigirl. Yeah, I love Holly Hunter. That's an all-star cast right there. It is National American Beer Day, Slee. Your favorite domestic beer is... You going to go mainstream? You going to go like Budweiser? You going to go a little more craft? You're a San Diego guy? You could go like Stone down in San Diego? Ballast Point?
You ever tried Coronado Brewing Company?
I have.
That's a really, really good... They have a really good line of beers.
I wonder how... Because San Diego is the answer to this question. Mm-hmm. Where you become kind of the microbrew capital of the country. Like, San Diego's got how many microbrews? 10,000?
San Diego and Portland, I know. Those
Portland's
two markets
got a bunch
took off like
Nincasi no tomorrow. Nincasi is a great... I think that's a Eugene brewery up there that's really good along the way. Your favorite mass-produced American beer?
Bud Light.
Oh, goodness. I think this is the last day we're ever doing the show together.
You said mass produced.
I think this is it.
Well, I'm assuming
this is the end of the line.
But you just said mass produced.
Yeah, no, that's certainly an option. I was going to. I'm thinking a Coors Light man myself.
Oh, really? So okay, I thought you were going to come up. I thought you were coming up with another beer here. As
no, I'm not going to go like some boutique thing that's only available on Wednesdays, the fourth week of every month.
I got to be honest. I don't know the last time I just cracked open a Bud Light, sat down and. Drink, you know what I mean?
Barbecues.
Like, if you're going to have a beer,
when you're going barbecues and ball games is when you go for those sorts of things.
Yeah.
All right. It is
100
games, days.
You got so many good options.
You do now.
Yeah.
Especially, you go down to Petco Park, you got a million good beer
Even
options.
Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium's got them too. Yeah. And plus, but a Dodger game, sometimes you're going, I know it's not an American beer, but let's just hit me with a few Modelos. That's a good way to go. That's a great way to go at a Dodger game. 100 days until the Winter Olympics in Beijing. You getting your luge going, your skeleton,
how
your
bobsled. How is it 100 days away?
Yeah.
That's how jacked up everything is right now.
Well, that whole pandemic thing kind of threw a monkey wrench in everybody's schedule.
I mean, these past Olympics, that was, of course, not the same, and just kind of trying to watch. You know what's crazy? Before the pandemic, I went to Japan.
Oh, okay.
2019, I went to Japan. And they had this right in the middle, right in Tokyo. You come out of the main train station. They had this unbelievable countdown clock to the Olympics starting.
Cool.
It's just, you know, and I think it was sponsored, whatever company it was. But I just remember taking so many photos. I'm like, how cool is that? The Olympics are going to be right here. This was in September of 2019. By 2020, a few months later, you know, you're starting to kind of figure out, hey, maybe this is not going to
happen.
But it's just kind of a trip that was all the way back then. You thought it was going to happen. You're telling me 100 days away from the
next one.
What?
Yeah, from the next one coming up. Are you an Olympics person? Because the Beijing ones that are coming up in 100 days, the Winter Olympics, other than maybe the hockey, just really don't turn my crank so much. It's not my deal. I love the Summer Olympics. I cannot wait for the Olympics to come back to L.A. in 2028. Because when they were here in 84, I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I loved it. I got to go to...
Do you think that's why it hooked you?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because it does not hit me like that
at all. I don't think it really does most people. I think you have to have experienced it or be into kind of some of those less mainstream sports. Like, there's track and swimming. Everybody knows that. But all the other stuff, I got to go equestrian at Santa Anita. I went and watched some volleyball. I saw basketball. I saw track at the Coliseum. It was just an amazing experience. Maybe it's because I was 13. Maybe it's because there wasn't the internet and all these, you got super into these things. But I loved the Olympics.
Basketball, soccer, volleyball, some of the more main sports I watch. And
no
then,
swimming?
And some track and field.
Gymnastics?
Swimming, I got to know what's going on.
First one to touch the wall wins.
I gotta know,
know.
As in, are there names that we know? Are there big time names that we know?
Oh, you need a Michael Phelps. Okay, I get that. Do not ask Paul McCartney for an autograph anymore. He does not want to do that or take selfies with fans. So if you see Sir Paul, leave him alone, Slee.
That would be. Can you imagine how many more people are now going to ask for a selfie?
Hey, yo, Paul.
When you make it known that you don't want selfies, you're going to get freaking selfies.
If you walk down, Paul McCartney's in the Starbucks downstairs. Mm-hmm. Is it Mr. McCartney? Is it Paul? Is it Sir Paul? How are you addressing him?
Mr. Paul McCartney.
Mr. Sir Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Throw them all in there.
The whole thing.
You
in
know
there.
He's been knighted. It's pretty baller. How do they find the podcast?
ESPN app or on iTunes. You can catch the full 3 hours of the show. Just search Travis and Sliwa. We'll be right there on the app.
All right, so back-to-back for the Lakers tonight. No more LeBron James. Al and I will be all over that for you tomorrow morning. I'm sure we'll find more Dodger topics to get into as well. We need to shake that up a little bit. Mason and Ireland coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.